You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Fan voting for the 2014 Pro Bowl is underway. Vote for your favorite Browns players to represent Cleveland in Hawaii during the 2014 Pro Bowl. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com to cast your votes right now. And as we move along here on another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, I wanted to focus in on the comments of a former Cleveland Brown, Kellen Winslow, who said, "Really? They can't guard me. That's how I feel. I can't be guarded, you know. Who's going to guard me over there? Nobody. That's how I feel, and that's how I play the game." So Kellen Winslow, who enters this game having just a remarkable season of 319 yards and 27 catches, is saying that nobody on the Cleveland Browns can cover him. I think that's pretty bold. And amazing, I was looking back at his career numbers. Pretty good yardage guy, never a great touchdown maker, never over five touchdowns in a single season. He had the great year, obviously, in 2007 with the Browns, 82 catches,
with Chud,
1,106 yards. That was his best season. And, you know, he's 30, and it's funny. I know T.J. Ward and DeQuell Jackson had a little bit of fun with that today, and they basically were saying, you know, I think he's a little bit past his prime, and, you know, we're going to worry about the guys who are actually on the field because Kellen Winslow's not even playing half the snaps for his team. I think it's pretty funny.
I think it's hysterical, and that's, you know, that's Kellen Winslow. It was pretty much a train wreck what happened with him here. Obviously, the same with Braylon Edwards. Ironically, both those guys, as you say, two Pro Bowl parts of the of an offense. The last really productive offense that the Browns had in since their arrival here in 1999, and Rob Chudzinski had put that together, and you had Derek Anderson, of course, as the quarterback of that team. So, yeah, I think he's whatever false bravado, whatever you want to call it. It's Kellen, and I don't think his judgment has ever been really good.
Yeah,
it's consistent with what he is.
It certainly is, and I thought this was a great quote from T.J. Ward. Quote, "He's a decent tight end, was good in his heyday, a little past his prime."
Yeah, they'll and that's and from the Browns' end, I think that's good. So however many reps he gets out there, maybe Rex will, just for the sake of this game being meaningless, maybe Rex puts him out there from a Jet perspective to see what he can do. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Want to hear from you and want your thoughts. We will also have an Inside the Locker Room segment today. Jason Campbell, quarterback for the Browns, will be joining Jameer Howerton on that. So as we push forward again with this game, you know, I think, and I'm, you know, we'll get into the segment with Jason, but I think there's also something from him. I think he wants it known that he does have a handle on the, as best you can, on the emotion of this team. I think he wants it pretty clear that what he said about New England that we talked about yesterday, that whole emotional letdown that it was and felt like a playoff game, A, I think he thought it needed to be said and understood, and B, and the more I've reflected on it and also had a chance to talk with Jason, it wasn't meant as any kind of a crutch at all. It really was. I mean, people could take what they want from
it.
It was raw, and it was also, from his standpoint, just to let you know, hey, I'm the veteran, and I can feel the pulse of this team. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. I want them to get, as a team, I want them to get over it. I'm not changing my mind on that. But I, from Jason's standpoint, and for whatever it's worth, I am happy that he feels that sense of ownership.
Yeah, it's good, and it's true, and it's human nature. And I thought, all things considered, to come out and actually take the lead in this game and be tied, you know, 10-10 in the first half, they handled it well. They came out, were competitive right out of the gate. We talked about the New England game where they had that horrific end against Carolina, and they came out and they were down 24-0 in the first half of their next game against Denver and didn't really rebound. So I thought this was a very good job by the Browns of rebounding. They dealt with it. And again, they were ahead in the fourth quarter for the third straight game. The result, we already know that it was the same. We're going to get some barks from the dog pound right now. 216-578-0850. Sean in Medina, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, thanks, fellas. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Hey, I was listening to you guys talk about, you know, Chud and the season and the expectations. And I'm not from here, but I also can feel the pulse of the fans. And it seems like Cleveland is so starved for wins that, you know, that they just kind of expected, and hopefully they don't expect Chud to just come in and, you know, start winning right away, especially with the quarterback situation and, you know, where it's at. So I'm hoping that we can bring some levity to the situation and give Chud, you know, two or three seasons to get his guys in place, to really have them feel comfortable in the system and to make plays.
I hope that's the case, not just because of the likability factor or that it's Chud. Take personalities out of it. Doing that means there is some traction. There is something here that is sustainable. The move won't be made if this team shows what it has to show, which is high level of it. And I'm not talking just a jump of a few wins or even double the wins if it stays static at four. If it goes to six and it's a 12-win season, that's a different story. If it's four and it's going to eight wins, probably okay from his stature, but it better be accompanied by a true belief that next thing in 2015 is, in fact, the playoffs. And I'm not even sure, as I said, I'm not sure that will say it enough, but it's got to be said emphatically. We've said that on the show before, that's really what he's dealing with is, and this whole organization is dealing with, is absolute proof, and this comes straight from Joe Banner, absolute proof that we are on the way if we aren't already there in 2014.
I think next year, Week 17, needs to be a game that determines whether or not the Browns go to the playoffs. I mean, to me, that is what needs to happen.
1,000%.
And they need to hopefully win that game and go to the playoffs. But that, at least at a minimum, that's what I want to see for this Cleveland Browns.
That's fair, by the way. That's not unreasonable to say it. I mean, it's not. I mean, it may. We'll see what it is and how it shapes up when we get in the season. But sitting here right now, on December 20th, I think that's a fair thing.
Totally fair, and I think that the coaching staff would think it was fair too, and I hope they would, and the players would want that at a bare minimum, and that's something that they would want to strive for. Dan in Westlake joins us now on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What's up, Dan?
How you doing?
Good.
Good, brother.
I got a few words for Kellen Winslow if he's listening out there.
Okay.
I hope this Cleveland Browns team has a bounty on him, and I hope somebody gets some extra spending cash for Christmas.
There are no bounties. But yes, I think it is a little ridiculous that he makes those comments. We'll see what happens. But Dan, appreciate the phone call. Let's go now to Bob in Norwalk. What's up, Bob?
Hey guys, enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I just want to pretext that I'm a lifelong Browns fan. I go all the way back to about 1970, so I remember a lot of good teams. It's a lot of bad teams here, and I have faith in Chud as far as his coaching. I mean, I see where he gets the guys to play hard. Anybody that knows football can see that. But I'm not real excited about Lombardi and Banner because they swung and missed completely in free agency this year. Bess, I mean, the trade for him and Kruger has been a big disappointment. And, I mean, our draft pick. I mean, Mingo's got flashes of potential, but for number six pick, the kid hasn't produced. I mean, you know, hopefully – next year and the year after that, we'll see some. But, I mean, even our established pros, you know, this year, take a step back, Joe Thomas. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm optimistic. I always am. I watch the Browns, support the Browns. But I don't know if Chudzinski's got the pieces behind him.
I think a swing and a miss is a little aggressive. Obviously, Devon Best has been a big disappointment this season. You look at Paul Kruger. Has he been great? Has he been worth the money? No, but you probably always overpay a little bit in free agency. I do think he can be a piece of a winning team, and he's proven that in Baltimore, obviously. Barkevious Mingo, yes, he's shown flash. I think he had that setback at the beginning of the year that hindered his development. But when you go and you look now at the sack leaders among rookies, he's second with five behind only Ziggy Ansah, who has 7.5. So as far as impact players to rush the quarterback in this rookie class, he has been the second most effective pass rusher amongst the rookies with 5 sacks. So to me, that's okay. Leon McFadden, I'm glad we're getting to see him here at the end of the season. Obviously, I think Chris Owens was a little bit of a swing and a miss. But I think the cornerback is a position that, given the free agent class, can absolutely be addressed. And if you were to ask me right now, my number one wish list for this Browns team in the offseason is to sign a free agent corner like Altron Werner. That would be probably the guy at the top of my list out of Tennessee, and solidify that position. And I think it would go a long way to helping this defense and helping the pass rushers when quarterbacks know. And I think part of the problems right now with this Browns defense is when a quarterback gets to the line of scrimmage, they have a pretty good idea of where they're going to go with the ball based on the coverage and the look that they see. They're going to try to identify the mismatch that has either one of our linebackers on a good tight end or on a running back who can catch ball in the backfield, and right, they know that they can get that easily, or they're looking to see who's getting lined up on the outside against the weaker corner, and that's where they're going to go. And when you know where, if you can be that decisive pre-snap, it's easy to get the ball out quickly. It's easy to prevent a lot of sacks, which is, I think, one of the reasons we've seen over the second half of the season when it was identified that you could attack our inside linebackers most. Quell's done a pretty good job. Craig Robertson, when he's gotten matched up with a running back or a tight end, it's been a problem for the Browns.
It's been a huge problem. To the question of free agency approach, I want to start with this. The plan of beefing up your front seven as part of a larger picture that had Ray Horton hired to really transform your defense, to make this a 3-4, to make this the zone blitzing, zone dog attack scheme that it was supposed to be. When you set that out as your blueprint, you approached free agency accordingly, and I thought the Browns approached it the right way. There really wasn't somebody other than Paul Kruger that you could go after as your premier pick to fit this. And that's not a Browns thing. It wasn't like they identified somebody that no other team saw or saw the merit of that player. He was the top guy on the board for that particular spot. Now, did it pan out, or has it panned out the way that you'd want it to? No. And Paul Kruger, the first to say, and he said it to me because I've posed the question to him straight up, that he has not had the sack total he wanted. He has not, you know, delivered in the way that he had hoped to with those numbers. The pressures have been there, fine, but the numbers just haven't been, you know, what he's wanted before that. Now, relative to, looking at the draft, well, and the rest of the free agent pickup, Desmond Bryant, you know, bringing him in, and heart issues. I mean, the guy's had, you know, literally the problems with his heart, irregular heartbeat and so forth. I know that was something that came up with him in Oakland, but whatever. I mean, the Browns medical staff is pretty thorough in checking this out. Has that, you know, that became more of a problem than you hoped it would? Yeah, it did.
And he was dominant at the beginning.
But he was dominant.
Year.
I don't hate that pickup. That was
that was
really
a good
free agent signing. And
yes,
that, again, stuck to the blueprint, right, of beef up your front seven. And then go Quentin Groves, who really was more of a role player in the front seven, but a special teams kind of guy that you'd want to see. A special teams kind of player, and when he was hurt and when he was out of the lineup, you know, that was something that hurt, you know, that hurt that team. So Barkevius Mingo, the needle's pointing up on him. I don't hate that draft pick either. I don't. The Leon McFadden one, jury is way, way out. But I'm feeling that there is a future there with Barkevius Mingo.
By the way, they brought in Brian Hoyer.
And yeah, signed Brian Hoyer and Jason Campbell, kept the quarterback position a train wreck and a half afloat. I mean, a train wreck beyond train wrecks with both performance by Whedon and bad health issues. And that ultimately kept it afloat because they had those guys involved. All right, we got more coming up on this show, this Friday, Football Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are going to have a discussion coming up in a little bit with Al Bubba Baker, who's going to talk about his Shark Tank experience. That'll be a good one. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.